Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with sound biblical teaching and spiritual discernment, but to help you become a winsome and fruitful witness of Jesus Christ. Because the credibility of our faith hinges on the answers we provide to life's biggest questions, there's often not a second chance to get those answers right. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
We have a modern crisis in Christianity that continues to deepen as an ever-increasing number of 21st century prosperity peddlers, ranging from Joyce Meyer to T.D. Jakes, seek to convince their devotees that what happens in your life is a result of the words that you speak. So if you're healthy and prosperous, words created your reality. Conversely, if your baby dies or if your spouse contracts cancer, well, you're the prime suspect. In fact, according to one of America's most popular prosperity preachers, Joel Osteen, the moment you speak something out, you give birth to it. And he says this is a spiritual principle, and it works whether what you're saying is good or bad, positive or negative. In fact, his words are eerily similar to the words of New Thought practitioner Joe Vitale, who incidentally was a contributor to Rhonda Byrne's The Secret. And when asked by Larry King, when Larry King was doing his show on CNN, whether a 9-year-old Florida girl who was brutally murdered attracted the horror to herself, he responded by saying, "We're attracting everything to ourselves, and there is no exception." Well, faith preachers like Osteen have differences from New Agers such as Vitale and Byrne, but they are united in the belief that the force of faith is so powerful that even the master of the universe is bound by its irrevocable reality. So in Christianity in Crisis 21st Century, what I do is I pull back the veil. I expose the fatal flaws, the feel-good fallacies that are spreading like cancer within the body of Christ. Christianity in Crisis 21st Century, available through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can order online at equip.org. You can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or as always, you can talk to one of our resource consultants at number 888-7000 and the letter CRI. And a lot of you holding on will go right to the phone callers. Bobby first in Illinois. Hi, Bobby.
Yes, hello, sir. My friend, who is now a retired captain, we did a lot of rodeo traveling over here in Missouri, and we had a 4-horse trailer with horses in it, and we were traveling up Interstate 44, and I don't know if you're familiar with Missouri, but it's pretty hilly, and we come up, and when we come down, it was 3 lanes on our side, and of course, the right lane was full of 18-wheelers, which is what I'm driving right now, and on the left side of me was nothing in the lane, but when we come over the hill, down at the bottom, there was a car stopped in the center lane. I thought, oh my God, you know, if I hit them, I'm going to kill them, and I can't go to the right because of the truck. I mean, they were like bumper to bumper. So I thought, well, I'll just go to the left lane. And as soon as I moved over to the left lane, a railroad tie shot out from in front of that car into our lane, and there was no other alternative but to hit it. We were going 70, so we hit it straight on, and all I can remember is she never screamed, but she looked at me, and her eyes were as wide open as they could be, screaming, and her son was in the back seat sleeping. He didn't even wake up. I remember looking into the mirror, and I could see the trailer in the air, and it was tilting like it was going to tip over, and I didn't even feel the hit. I mean, it should have ripped off our bumper, popped our tires, and it should have grabbed the horse trailer and everything, and all of a sudden, we landed, and it was smooth, and we pulled over. There was nothing broke, and you know, I always see out of the corner of my eye, I feel this hand on my shoulder. And I don't know if it could, because I know Jesus lives within us, but I don't know if it's his hand I'm feeling or if it's his guardian angel that he has sent with me.
Yeah, well, you know, the wonderful thing is that Jesus Christ is now speaking to us directly. In the past, God spoke through messengers and through prophets. In the present, he has spoken to us through his Son. And his Son is not just an insurance policy. He is a living, active, dynamic force in our lives. He is a person who watches over us, who is intimate with us and interacts with us in all kinds of ways. But are we able to figure out exactly how that happens? We're not. What we know is that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. There are abundant references to angels in the Bible. The nature of those references is not such as to make them very helpful for developing an understanding of hierarchies of angels and the like, because every reference to angels is incidental to some other topic. So what I am trying to say in all of this is that we can know that God has providential care in our lives, and we can thank him that he uses means. He could use angels as guardians for us, but it's hard to be able to understand exactly how to apply that theology to individual anecdotal circumstances.
I want to go back to the phone lines and talk next to Gloria, listening in El Paso, Texas. Hi, Gloria.
Hi.
How are you?
Well, I'm a little devastated and shocked. I listened to Joyce, I listened to Pastor Prince, and this lady went on your broadcast, and she was asking about forgiveness. And I was just totally blown, Hank, about your study or research, or I don't know. Tell me, please.
Well, you know, the problem is that these teachers sound fairly credible. I mean, Satan never packages his lies in their naked deformity. If he did, you'd never buy into them. What he always gives you is the skin of the truth stuffed with a great big lie. And that's what these prosperity peddlers are doing as well. For example, both Joel Osteen and Joyce Meyer will tell you that we are to call the things that are not as if they already were. Now, that sounds very biblically sound, but is it really biblically sound? Scripture says nothing of the sort. In fact, the very passage that they reference, which happens to be Romans 4:17, says virtually the opposite. It says that it is the God who gives life, not we, who calls things that are not as though they were. So what he's done is he's put a subtle twist to the text, which has the text communicating something that the text doesn't communicate at all. That's twisting scripture. And this is something that Creflo Dollar is very adept at. He not only denies the deity of Jesus Christ, but he also denigrates pastors who proclaim that Christ is fully God. He calls them fantasy preachers.
And somebody said, well, Jesus came as God. Well, how many of you know the Bible says God never sleeps nor slumbers? And yet in the book of Mark, we see Jesus asleep in the back of the boat. Y'all, please listen to me. Please listen to me. This ain't no heresy. I'm not some false prophet. I'm just reading this thing out of to you, the Bible. I'm just telling you all these fantasy preachers have been preaching all of this stuff for all of these years, and we bought the package.
Now, what's he saying? He's saying that Jesus Christ is not God, and that is not an isolated incident. He's gone so far as to say that because Jesus got tired, he could not have been God. If he, Jesus, came as God and he got tired, boy, we're in trouble. Moreover, says Creflo Dollar, if Jesus came as God, then why did God have to anoint him? And then he answers his own question by saying, Jesus came as a man. That's why it was legal to anoint him. God doesn't need anointing. He is anointed. Jesus came as a man, and at age 30, God is now getting ready to demonstrate to us and give us an example of what a man with the anointing can do. So again, what he does is he denies that Jesus Christ was fully God in the flesh. This is true, again, of all kinds of prosperity peddlers, whether it is Creflo Dollar, T.D. Jakes, Joyce Meyer, Joel Osteen, or even Joseph Prince, who repackages the concepts of the Word of Faith movement in his own vocabulary. He distorts Scripture to claim God guarantees health and wealth. He distorts passages like 2 Corinthians 8:9, which is supposed to teach that on the cross Jesus bore the curse of prosperity. The real teaching, of course, is simply that Paul is encouraging the Corinthians to be generous, as even the Macedonians were generous despite their poverty. He rejects confession of sin for believers. We don't need to confess our sins to be forgiven, and on it goes. In fact, we featured an article in the Christian Research Journal on Joseph Prince. So if you want further information in that regard, we have an article in the Christian Research Journal. Back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
The famous British apologist G.K. Chesterton once noted, "The true soldier fights not because he hates what is in front of him, but because he loves what is behind him." Because at CRI we love what is behind us, our faith, our families, and our freedoms, we will never retreat quietly from the growing assaults on life and truth. Even when the costs are great, we will stand. To join like-minded friends in making a difference at home and around the globe, and to equip fellow believers to stand their ground courageously, become a member of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI, or visit our website at equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a few moments. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. An infinite God reduced to the size of a human embryo, the creator of time and space, invading both in human form? Such is the mystery and the majesty of the Incarnation, supreme being condescending to become one of us. Perhaps nothing is more important than grasping the significance of the coming God in human flesh. Without the life, death, and resurrection of the incarnate one who walked among us, our world would be unfathomably dark. To be equipped as a witness and to be inspired in your walk, you'll want to feast on Hank Hanegraaff's book, Incarnation, The Ultimate Self-Revelation of God. To receive your copy of Incarnation, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. Or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive
negative superstitions, but CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. Let's go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Robert. He's listening in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Robert.
How you doing, Hank? I wanted to ask you, a couple of years ago, another employee told me that everybody that makes it to heaven isn't going to live in a mansion. He said that some people will live in the basement of mansions. Is that right? Is there going to be, like, classes of people?
Well, look, there are degrees of reward in heaven, but there aren't different classes of people in heaven, which is to say the rewards that the Bible talks about involve both enlarged responsibilities in eternity as well as enhanced spiritual capacities. For example, the capacity to enjoy a musical instrument is greatly enhanced when you master a musical instrument. In the same way, the work we do here and now will greatly enhance our capacity for enjoying eternity. But we will be able to appreciate the station in life hereafter that God gives another person without even a modicum of envy or jealousy, because there we will have true love as it was intended to be, not selfish love, but selfless love.
I hope that doesn't sound like a petty question.
It's a very good question, because the scripture tells us that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. And that is not speaking of the reward of salvation, but rather the rewards of service. The more we live lives that deserve reward, the more we will bring glory to God.
Because I thought it said in the Bible that people believe in Jesus would inherit the universe.
Well, it's true, because what's going to happen is that this universe is going to be liberated from its bondage to decay. So now it groans in travail, but then it will be liberated. And that's exactly the promise. The promise is that what happens to us in resurrection, we will be resurrected immortal, imperishable, incorruptible, goes hand in hand with the resurrection of the universe. God doesn't scrap things. He redeems them. He resurrects them. And so the universe will give birth, as it were, to a universe in which there is no decay. And we will inherit that, as it were, as our playground. We will forever explore the glory and grandeur of God's created handiwork, as we will forever explore the glory and grandeur of the one who created us and redeemed us by his grace.
Thanks for answering the question. I've been kind of puzzled about that last couple of years.
Well, I'm glad you called. I have written about this in a couple of different places. Principally, I've written about this in my book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Chad, listening in Salem, Virginia. Hi, Chad.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
My question is short and sweet here. In the context of the scripture in St. Mark, God is speaking to me through his word, and he's saying to love, and you shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like it, is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these. So who is my neighbor?
Well, whoever God places in your path, but even more extensively, it is all those that he has created, which is to say that we are called to fulfill a great commission and called to fulfill a great commandment. the Great Commission entails making disciples of all nations. So there's a sense in which we are responsible for the world. Now, what that means is that we use our time, our talent, and our treasure for the furtherance of the kingdom of God, so that His word can go out throughout the earth. God ordained not only the ends, but the means, and we are the means by which people hear about the great master who has landed in disguise and is calling us to sabotage the works of the evil one.
So like he explained in Luke chapter 10, where he kind of explained, you know, when the lawyer asked Jesus, you know, what must I do to, or he says, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, you shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus said, you have answered rightly. Go do this and you will live.
Yeah.
So
Jesus was calling him to become his own apprentice. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes on him will not perish but have everlasting life. So the beauty is that in following Jesus Christ, we are not only fulfilling the first, but the second as well. And the second is likened unto the first, because you cannot love God and hate your neighbor.
Right. And yeah, that's what I'm getting at, is our enemy. I mean, that's why I don't have any enemies in this world, because the Great Commission is to go out and make disciples of all nations, is to love thy neighbor, regardless of what people do to me. You know, part of the cost of following Christ is to become, you know, maybe a doormat to somebody. They may persecute me. They might put me in prison for no reason. I might be on, misjudged for my faith.
Yeah, I don't think we're called to be a doormat, but the Bible does concur with some of what you just said. For example, in both Old and New Testament, we are told, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Exactly. So that's why I don't believe in war. I don't believe declaring war on somebody is going to make disciples of all nations. That's why I believe in peace, you know.
But it can be a way of demonstrating your love for fellow human beings. For example, if in fact you have a madman who believes in the Übermann, and as a result of that decides that he is going to eradicate those who are infirm or weak or those who are Jews, well, then justice means that we step in the way of the tyrant and try to defend the weak and the powerless, just as we're called to defend the orphan and the widow. So true love sometimes means that we go to war because we are protecting someone against an evil aggressor.
Well, specifically, where does Jesus tell me to go out and pursue my enemy?
Well, Jesus condemned the aggressive use of weapons, but he commended the defensive use of weapons. And I think that there is a principle in Scripture, and we find that principle in places like Romans chapter 13. War must be just. A war in defense of justice must be fought justly. And therefore, we may kill a kid that has a bomb strapped to his back, but we may not shoot an innocent baby in the arms of its mother. So I think what's important to recognize is that true love, genuine love, protects the innocent against the evil of an aggressor. And that kind of love sometimes leads to war. And if military action is not allowed in order to maintain order among nations, then police should not be permitted by the same logic in order to maintain order within a nation. So I think it's a leap of logic to allow the police to resist a murderer and at the same time not let the military resist a murderous nation. And certainly we have to have some kind of order. If you removed all order and civil authority within America right now, we would have anarchy and chaos. And I think the logic that you're using would lead to that very thing.
Yeah, well, I read a quote from somebody, maybe it was C.S. Lewis or someone had said that, you know, I base my faith in God not on by how much I can prove to you or anybody else how much I believe in God, but the other part of it is how much I'll stake my life on. I stake, because Jesus said to me, he said, count the cost. Count the cost to follow me. Picking up the cross and following him is like picking up the electric chair. I'm willing to die for Christ.
Right, then you should love others in the same way and be willing to protect the innocent against an evil aggressor.
Forgiving somebody might bring them to their knees. If someone
God uses us as the means by which the gospel goes out to the world, he can also use you as the means to stop a rapist from raping a young girl. To abdicate that responsibility and say, well, I'm going to leave that in the hands of God, when God has ordained not only the ends but the means, would be an abdication of your responsibility. I'm going to have to leave it at that, but you might want to think about those biblical principles. We've written about them in various places, including an article in the Christian Research Journal on Just War Theory. I am out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our contact information, once again, as we close the broadcast, on the web, it's equip.org. Via the mail, it's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. Thanks for tuning in. We see you next time with more of the broadcast.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just go to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast live or download archived broadcast. To talk with a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.